Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7, while you're turning there, I might remind you also, pray for Brother Chester. Brother Chester texted me this afternoon and said, don't think I'm going to make it tonight. I'm not feeling very well. So pray for him, if you would, just not feeling good. Marion's got a doctor's appointment in December. He's having something checked, all right? I'll check and see if he's got anything between his ears, really, but I wouldn't tell you that except we're friends, okay? So, but do pray for him. He does have some testing coming up, so kind of taking a look at him, and remember to do that. Let me think. Something else. We're having Christmas for a missionary December the 19th, okay? Christmas for the missionary, and I got a text this afternoon. Well, actually, I was at church by the time I got it, and he said that he sent me he sent the needs. So, Lord willing, maybe come Sunday we'll start putting that out so you can maybe find something that you want to buy for the missionary and get it. We'll just get that rolling. So, that'll be coming up, and we're trying to get that all squared away. We're trying to do that this time for Brother Nathan Patterson and his family. And his brother's got the info for me, and he's excited about it. He said, man, I really thank y'all for what you're doing. And he said, I know it'll surprise and bless my brother. So you pray. That is always a marvelous time. It is just such a good time to be in that service. And I really want to encourage you not to miss it, okay? And if you can, all possible, you want to participate any way you can, all right? Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. I'm going to begin reading there, if we could, in verse 6. Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. The Bible said, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. In reading through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, that phrase there that you see in verse 9, it says, according to the good hand of his God upon him. That phrase just struck me. Don't lose your place here, but go over to Nehemiah chapter 2, all right? Nehemiah chapter 2, if you will. I want you to notice what verse 8 there says. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, notice, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Man, well, what a wonderful phrase. What a wonderful statement. According to the good hand of my God upon me. Look down at verse 18. Verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Notice, I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Now go back to Ezra. We read there in Ezra chapter 6, or chapter 7, verse 6 and verse 9. Notice both them and both of them. It says, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. In verse 6, verse 9, it says, according to the good hand of his God upon him. Then drop down to verse 28 in that chapter. And hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. Well, notice the hand of God. Chapter 8, look at verse 22 here in Ezra. The Bible says, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him." Oh, man, a wonderful statement. Verse 31. Verse 31, "Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way." What a statement. The good hand of God. The good hand of God. I want to tell you, in every one of these instances, the hand of God made a difference. The hand of God made a difference. Over and over we see it in these verses that the hand of God, the Bible said, was on us, or the hand of God was on him. And Nehemiah said, "Is the hand of my God, the good hand of my God upon me." What a difference that makes. And, you know, I don't know how much you think about it, but I got to thinking about the hand of God on me, the good hand of God, all right? The good hand of God. So I just want to look at a few things with that tonight. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8, all right? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8. He said, the king, right at the end of verse 8, "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." I want you to see this. I believe the good hand of God positions people. The good hand of God positions people. It was the hand of God that put Nehemiah in a position to impress the king, who would then be concerned as to what Nehemiah was, to what was bothering him. You read earlier in the chapter, there in the book of Nehemiah, the Bible said Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And boy, what a great position, a very important position. As the cupbearer, one thing he did is he tasted stuff the king ate. And if it didn't kill Nehemiah, then the king would eat it, all right, or drink it. So, you know, that was a handy guy to have around when you had a lot of enemies, all right? So he had an important position, but God's hand placed him there. God's hand positioned him there. You said, well, what a wonderful accident. I don't believe it was an accident at all. God positioned him there. God gave him that position, and Nehemiah did a good job. He developed a good relationship with the king. Now remember, Nehemiah is a Jew, all right? Nehemiah is a Jew. Artaxerxes is everything but, okay? Long way from being a Jew. A heathen king. But God positioned Nehemiah in a place. He put him in a place where he had an influence with the king. Or he had an influence with the king. And because he had that influence, as God began to work on Nehemiah about something else, it showed up on the countenance of Nehemiah, and the king said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And it worked out for the good of Nehemiah. Why? Because the good hand of God positioned him in the place he wanted him to be. I believe God puts us, he positions us, if you will, to where we need to be, to where we ought to be, and he puts us there when we need to be there. His hand positions us. Now, all of this is contingent upon you and I being willing to let God do his work in us and let him put his hand on us, all right? And we'll look at it and let him position us and move us to where we need to be so we're in the right place at the right time for what God wants us to do, all right? He positions us there. Now, I don't have any great story of a miraculous time in my life, you know, where I was just at the right place at the right time. But, hey, I believe God's put me in places where he's wanted me to be at the particular time he wanted me to be there, and there was a job for me to do. But I believe he does the same thing with you, too. He positions us. He puts us where he wants us to be. He puts us there. That good hand of God, not only does it position us, but that good hand of God points you. Points you. You say, what do you mean? Well, he gave Ezra and Nehemiah, he pointed them in a direction. He spoke, he dealt with Ezra about working on the temple in Jerusalem. Getting it back in order and getting the offerings and getting things set up along that way. He worked on Nehemiah and began to burden him with a need for rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem and they were all broken down. Hey, God was pointing them in the direction he wanted them to go, all right? The good hand of God does that. The good hand of God always points us in the right direction. He points us where we need to be. You can trust where he leads you, all right? You can trust where he leads you. If he's leading, then don't be afraid to follow. If he's pointing you that way, if he's pointing in that direction, then follow him. Follow that leadership. Realize this is the hand of God, all right? This is the hand of God pointing me where he'd have me to be, where he wants me to go. God moves upon us. Sometimes if we're not careful, we decide, I'd rather be here. But make sure you check out the good hand of God. Make sure the hand of God wants you to be there. Make sure it's God dealing with you, saying, okay, that's where I want you to go. That's where I want you to be. He did that with Ezra, and he did that with Nehemiah. He not only positioned them at the right place at the right time, but he pointed them in the direction he wanted to go. But it went further than that. The good hand of God provided for them. Provided for them. Notice, if you will, back in Ezra chapter 7, all right? Ezra chapter 7, where we read there in verse 8, all right? And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, all right? According to the good hand of his God upon him, all right? God was involved in it, all right? God was involved in it. And he got the king on Ezra's side. So the king helped provide Ezra with what he needed. Provided him with what he needed. He did the same thing for Nehemiah. We were reading over there in Nehemiah chapter 2. And we read there in verse 8. Notice what he said. Let's read verse 7. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. Hey, that was the good hand of God. That was the good hand of God that Nehemiah was able to come. And you said, wait a minute, he got it from the king. Well, who do you think operates on that king? Doesn't your Bible say the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord? Yeah, it's the good hand of God. And through that good hand of God, he made provision for Nehemiah to get what he needed. Notice the Bible said it was from the king's forest. It was from the king's forest. He didn't go to hand cut down somebody else's wood, all right? It was in the king's forest that he went to. He got provision from there, all right? He got the materials that he needed to build the wall, to build the house, all right? To build the palace there. God provided it. It was that good hand of God. Boy, can I say this to you? The good hand of God's still in the providing business today. Still provides. Let me just talk to you. Now, we usually have a materialistic view of things. We have a materialistic view. We talk about providing. We think, okay, money, cars, a house, food. Well, wait a minute. How many times has the good hand of God provided comfort? Comfort to you. To you. My Bible talks about him comforting the brokenhearted. The good hand of God. Good hand of God. Comforts the brokenhearted. He comforts the downhearted. He comforts those that are upset. That's the good hand of God. Gives comfort, all right? He makes provision for us. And he provides those things for us. I think sometimes we gloss over a lot of things we get from God, and we look past them, and we tend to look, I'm looking for that materialistic thing. Well, he may give that, but don't discount the other things he's blessed you with. Don't discount those provisions that have come your way that he has provided, all right? That he's seen to it you get. You say, well, he didn't bring it. It doesn't matter who he uses to deliver it. Doesn't matter who's delivering, all right? That doesn't make any difference. Listen, if you're sitting at home and somebody brings by food, you're not griping about whose hand brought it, are you? We're not complaining about that. We're just glad we have it. And God may use somebody else to bring it, but he's providing it. Hey, it may be God's good hand that puts somebody else's hand on your shoulder at a time you need some comfort. But God sent them, all right? He provides comfort. Not only does he provide comfort, but he provides care. I think about the illustration in the Word of God and what he did for Elijah. Think about how he provided and cared for Elijah. Elijah got up and made the statement because God told him to. He said, it's not going to rain again until I say it does. And boy, everything began to dry up, and God sent Elijah up on the brook Cherith. God, the good hand of God, provided for him. You said, wait a minute, I thought it was those ravens that brought that meat. Well, who do you think gave the ravens the meat, all right? Where do you think that came from? Hey, it was that good hand of God that provided care for those that were in need. It was that good hand of God after Elijah came back, challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and challenged them, and they were slain, and Jezebel got mad about it, and she went after him, and old Elijah took off. I don't really run him down too much from running from a crazy woman, all right? And so he took off, and he was pretty distraught and downhearted. But you'll notice if you read this account how an angel woke him up and there was a cake prepared for him. There was food for him to eat. And that angel of God told him, get up and eat because you need strength for the journey. Man, he went a long ways on that one cake. Why? Because that cake was provided by the good hand of God. God cared for him. He took him into Zarephath where he ran across the widow. That widow lady, and he said, hey, fix me a cake if you would. She said, well, I was just going to fix one. Me and my son's going to split it, and we're going to die. He said, fix me one first. Whose hand you think kept that barrel from running dry? Whose hand? Hand of God. The hand of God. I don't believe that barrel filled up. I believe every day that widow went to that barrel, and there was just enough. And every time she went to that barrel, there was just enough. Just enough. Hey, the good hand of God. The good hand of God provides care for us, all right? And boy, there's that good hand of God provides the strength we need. Gives us what we need for the journey in life. Where does that come from? The good hand of God. The good hand of God. Now, God's awful good to us, folks. That good hand. Boy, the hand of God is good upon me, all right? But it not only provides, as that good hand of God also protects. Nothing protects like the hand of God. We'll go back and read some verses we read there in Ezra chapter 8. I want you to begin there with me in verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Now read, do you read what old Ezra's saying here? Notice what he said. He said, I was ashamed to ask for soldiers because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. So if we bragged on God, then how's it going to look if we go asking for soldiers? He said, so I was ashamed to do that. So I bragged on him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. You read that and you drop down to verse 31. Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go into Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. Hey, it was the good hand of God that protected them. Folks, it was dangerous. It was a dangerous place to travel, all right? It was dangerous days to travel. There, the enemy was there. The enemy was especially strong against Ezra. There was a strong group that were totally against those Jews coming back to Jerusalem. And they were determined, we're going to do everything we can to stop them. You get over there and you read in Nehemiah as they were rebuilding the wall, you read again and again and again of the opposition they faced. Well, that same opposition was strong against Ezra. The Bible says in Nehemiah's day, he said, "We one hand we did the work, the other hand we held a weapon." But Ezra didn't talk about any kind of weapons. He said, "We prayed and God's good hand protected us. He delivered us," all right? Hey, the enemy was there. They could have wrecked the plans. They could have wreaked havoc on those headed back to Jerusalem. But the good hand of God, the good hand of God protected them. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad we served the same God Ezra did. I'm glad we serve him. The Lord doesn't have any trouble protecting us today either. Doesn't have any trouble. Look in Isaiah chapter 59, would you? Very, very familiar verse, but good verse. It fits in here real well. Isaiah chapter 59. Look at verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." He said, there's nothing wrong with the hand of God. It's still able to save. He's still able to protect. He's still able to do everything. Nothing wrong with it. And you ever stop and try to figure out how many times it was the good hand of God that prevented disaster in your life or held off the enemy for you? Just stop and think. Man, I believe every now and then we ought to sit down and begin to think about our life. How many times God's protected us? The good hand of God upon us. I'm sure that you've seen it. I see things that pop up just on the internet sometimes, and it's these videos of accidents and wrecks. And I've seen people that, I mean, you look, you watch it, and you think, how'd they keep from killing that person? I mean, the vehicles just roll over and everything. But it's like God just put his hand there. The good hand of God. How many times has the good hand of God watched over us? We did something maybe a little dumb. Now, maybe not on purpose. Maybe we just got a little careless. The other night I got a little careless. Had my mind somewhere else. Ran a red light. You know, I don't understand people honking at you. I mean, why would they honk? It was just, you know, minor thing like that. I had my mind was somewhere else totally. Susie was with me. She said, next time your mind's going to leave you, leave me too, all right? Just kill yourself, you don't have to kill me. But the good hand of God. The good hand of God. How many times have we had that happen in our life? And I want to tell you, I stop and think about the good hand. The hand of God's been so good to this old guy that it's amazing to me. How much he's blessed, how much he's taken care of me, gotten me through, provided for me, done things, man, that just one blessing after another. The good hand of God. The good hand of God. Now, there is another hand of God. Look back with me, if you will, in 1 Samuel chapter 5, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 5. Look down, if you will, in verse 11. The Bible says, "So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people, for there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there." Hey, those Philistines didn't experience the good hand of God. What the Philistines experienced was the heavy hand of God. It's not always, all right. The heavy hand of God can be very tough to deal with. Those Philistines found out. They thought they'd done a wonderful thing. Boy, we've taken the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. We captured it in battle. We'd taken it, and it had been nothing but trouble for them ever since. Nothing but trouble. I love the account where they put it in their temple with their god Dagon. And the next morning they come back and their god's on his face before the Ark of God. So they propped him back up. What a wonderful God you have when you have to prop him up yourself, you know. Propped him up. The next day they came back. Not only was he fallen, but his hand's broken off, you know. He's in a mess, you know. Hey, what a mess that was. Hey, they had had nothing but problems. Why? Because the hand of God was heavy on them. Hand of God was heavy on them. Hey, you only feel the heavy hand of God when you're not listening to God and you're not obeying Him. When you're disregarding Him. I believe with all my heart it's kind of our choice. You want to experience the good hand of God or you want the heavy hand of God? I believe a lot of it's left up to us. I mean, which one do we want? We want to spend our life going through the heavy hand of God or enjoying the good hand of God upon us? Now, that's not a hard decision for me to make, okay? Hey, you're going to feel the hand of God for a reason, for a purpose. Look, if you will, in Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27, if you would. Job chapter 27. Look in verse 11 here. The Bible said, I will teach you by the hand of God. I will teach you by the hand of God. That which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. See, I believe we feel the hand of God for a purpose. There's a purpose to teach us. To teach us. He wants to teach us. I've felt the hand of my dad before on me when he was trying to teach me. Not necessarily a rough hand, but a hand, nope, don't go there. A hand directed me somewhere else, okay? Just that hand. Now, sometimes that hand was rough, but it's my fault. It was always my fault. The hand of God, it might be to teach you, but you know what? It may be to position you. Maybe God's moving you. Maybe He's putting you in a position, in a place where He's got a reason for you to be there, and He's trying to get you in that position. He used His hand to position Ezra and Nehemiah. I believe they were there because of the hand of God. The hand of God. It could be to point you. He's trying to point you. He's trying to say, all right, here's the direction you need to go. This is what you need to do. The hand of God is there. It's there for a purpose. It's there for a reason. Maybe to position you. Maybe to point you. Hey, maybe He's just using it to provide for you. He's just going to provide for you. You're going to feel that hand of God because He's got provision He wants to give you. It could be He's protecting you. He's protecting you. You know, sometimes you're protecting somebody, you got to yank them out of the way, right? Sometimes, I mean, then that may not feel too good. But you may need to be yanked out of the way, all right? God's trying to protect you. So don't get upset, all right? That hand of God could be there to correct you. I don't say this to you. Whatever the purpose, if it's to teach, to point, to position, to provide, to protect, to correct you, it's the good hand of God. It is the good hand of God. You and I need to always be grateful for that good hand of God upon us. The good hand of God. Would you bow your heads tonight? Every head bowed, never eye closed. I don't know about you, but thank God for the good hand of God upon me. Thank God. Hey, is He trying to do something for you tonight? Is he maybe working on you a little bit? Have you felt the hand of God, and maybe you were wondering, well, what's he doing? What's he doing? What does he want? Give him time, you'll know. But don't fight that hand. Don't fight that hand. Don't push that hand away. Let him do that work in your life. Let the hand of God do what he wants to do for you. If he's placing you somewhere, let him put you there. He'll make it plain if that's what he's doing. If he's needing to protect you, then stay where he puts you so he can protect you. He'll protect you. What's he trying to do in your life? Will you let him do it, or are you going to fight him? Maybe you need to spend a little time tonight in prayer. Do that, would you, right now? Just let God deal with you. Think, Lord, what's at hand? Maybe you just sit there and you ought to just thank God for the marvelous, mighty hand of God that's been on your life all your life. What a blessing. We're coming into the Thanksgiving season. It's a good thing to thank him for. The good hand of God. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the good hand of God that's been on our life. Lord, I think of the goodness of God that your hand has brought to me. Dear God, I couldn't thank you enough for what you've done. And Lord, I've seen you at work in the lives of many, many other people. Lord, help us to have the wisdom to not fight what you want to do for us. To be willing to be used of you. And Lord, if that hand guides or points or leads us, then Lord, help us have the wisdom to follow, to do what you want us to do. Because there's no better place to be, Lord, than kept by the Master's hand. Help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.